Jesus' first words after he rose from the dead, peace be with you. It's as if the big thing that he won for us by dying and rising was peace. He so badly wanted his apostles to know peace, he wants you to know that peace too. But if you're like me, it's so easy to lose hope that deep peace is even possible. Guys, we live in the most fast-paced, harried, clickbaity, busy culture in history. Guys, life flies at us with a speed that humanity has never, ever experienced before. Take a deep breath. Deep peace is actually possible. And if it weren't, Jesus would not have offered it to you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it. Guys, today I want to dive into the foundational first step to enter into the peace that Jesus gives us, the peace you never even thought possible. This is going to be the first of 9 steps to living peace that we're going to be rolling out in the weeks ahead, following the Gospels every Sunday. Now, if you want this packaged and delivered with more resources for you, for your peace, and for your small groups, make sure you sign up in the waitlist below this video. Just click below for early access to Living Peace. It's coming out this fall. Today, I am so excited to talk about the first step, the secret to deep peace, and it's a secret hidden in one of the most insane things Jesus ever told his followers to do. Let's dive in. In Luke 10, Jesus sent his disciples out. Go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, carrying no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Where do we stay, Lord? In whatever house welcomes you. And what if they don't? Just wipe the dust off your feet and move on. Guys, as a teenager who hadn't yet experienced adult responsibility, I heard readings like that and I thought, cool, I'm into Jesus. I'll go wherever you send me, Lord. As an adult, I hear a reading like that and think, crazy. I mean, literally think about it. You're in the ancient world. It's occupied by a foreign power that doesn't like you. Bandits are really common. And you're in a region where water is not really common. It's really scarce. You're in the desert. Guys, these are things that adult brains consider because we don't want to, I don't know, die. And death comes really fast in the ancient world through bad people, bandits, empires, or the desert just eats you alive. And Jesus says in that setting, guys, walk out that way. You guys, you go that way. No need for food and water. Take nothing for your journey. And you can't even bring your cell phone because the service is awful in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago. Oh, and your message is so controversial that they're eventually going to try to kill you for it. In the words of Gimli from Lord of the Rings, certainty of death, small chance of success, what are we waiting for? Guys, I want you to think about this. The total, radical trust of the adults who heard him and who said, okay, let's do this. Believe it or not, that level of trust, that's not just for some disciples 2,000 years ago. That is literally how Jesus is inviting you to follow him today. And it is the only way to live that guarantees your peace and safeguards your joy. I lead pilgrimages, and I was really blessed to take my family to the Holy Land a few years ago, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Natalie shared with the family while we were on this pilgrimage, she's like, you know what, maybe as much as I love seeing the holy sites, I love the fact that every day in a pilgrimage, somebody else has everything all planned for me. I kind of just get in the bus and go, and the day unfolds before me. my then teenage son, Joey, said, Mom, that's literally every day of my life. Remember those days, guys? Those days that last from when you're a child who's buckled into the car seat and you have no idea where you're going, but you're cool because I'm excited. Dad's taking me somewhere cool. I don't know. I trust Dad, so I trust that where I'm going is going to be good. And it lasts through your teenage years until the shock of leaving college when you realize for the first time, oh, dang, if I don't take charge and go work, I might not eat. Right? And I don't get 3 months off for summer break anymore? What? That's awful, right? But for the entirety of that long childhood that you get to experience, if you have a stable, loving home with good parents who take care of you, you go through life with this peace of kind of knowing, dude, somebody else has the journey charted out, so I could just buckle up and enjoy the ride. The difference between the saints, that doesn't only make them holier than the rest of us, but happier than the rest of us, is that they kept that paradigm of spiritual childhood and radical trust throughout their entire lives. And it leads to a peace that, as St. Paul wrote from prison awaiting his execution, surpasses understanding. When you live with that kind of surrender, guys, we could have peace even in the most terrifying situations of life. I think of St. John de Brebeuf. He's a hero of mine, one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived. And on one journey, he set out to share the gospel with a Native American tribe that he hadn't met before, and they wanted none of it. So they bound him, and they told him to wait while they had a meeting to decide if they're going to kill him or not. Okay, now, he also knew full well that if they were going to kill him, that was going to come after a lot of torture. So it was going to be an absolutely awful death. And when they decided not to kill him, but to hear him out, they came to deliver the good news, and they were shocked by what they saw. You know what they found? He was taking a nap. Guys, for all he knew, he was about to suffer a gruesome death, and he was peaceful enough to doze off. See, because he knew, this is crazy, even in that situation, I have a heavenly Father who's looking out for me, and everything is ultimately in his hands, not mine. And he kept that spirit when he did eventually die one of the most gruesome and excruciating martyrdoms in church history. And during his long torture, he stood tall, and he told his fellow martyrs, "Guys, remember, this suffering is going to end. The glory that awaits you will never end." And he kept preaching the gospel to the people who were killing him. He knew who was in charge, and it wasn't the people who were killing him. It was God who loved him. Or I think about Blessed Chiara Badano, who died at the age of 18 in 1990 with a peace that just doesn't make sense. And as she suffered through cancer, she constantly prayed, "Jesus, if this is what you want, so do I." Her last words, "Goodbye, be happy, because I'm happy." And when her hair fell out in her long journey through cancer, she'd hold it up in the air and say, "For you, Lord." Guys, how did she keep that much peace? She once reflected on her journey to death, "I feel enfolded in a marvelous plan of God, which is slowly being unveiled to me." Look, St. John did his best to preach. Chiara took chemo, but they didn't worry about the outcomes because they couldn't control that part. That's God's. And of course they suffered, but their experience of terrifying situations coexisted with a peace that surpasses understanding. That's the great mystery of the Christian life, that we have this human existence at the same time we experience this existence, this life, as children of Almighty God. Guys, you can have that too, even in the midst of the pains of life. But not just in tragedy. That paradigm of spiritual childhood, it's the secret to keeping peace, even when you're dealing with the disappointments of life, which we all have to deal with. Because disappointments might actually be his appointments. See what I did there? Guys, my dad was in the Navy, and his dream was to work on a submarine. And one of the officers in charge of him was a totally dysfunctional, abusive person. And he mistreated my dad in a way that would have gotten him fired probably today, but this is the Navy in the 1970s, so good luck to you, right? So my dad confided what was going on to the medic because he'd been injured by the mistreatment that he received. And in typical military culture, circa 1970, the medic told the officer who had hurt my dad, "Hey, just so you know, Jim told me that you did this. Okay, see ya." And things only got worse from there, and that eventually forced my dad out of the submarine school that he had been dreaming of for years and years, and he had to choose a whole other path in the Navy. His dream was smashed. Guys, if it weren't for that awful and unfortunate turn of events brought about through a dysfunctional person, my dad would not have been in the club that particular night where my mom was. They wouldn't have met, and I wouldn't be recording this right now because I wouldn't exist. What? Guys, when things don't go as you plan, maybe, just maybe, they're going exactly as God plans. When you keep that mindset of a spiritual child, you know that a hand of love is writing the story of your life, even if the page that you're on is painful. Guys, that might not change your circumstances, but it does change you. It brings you from a victim to a victor who could hold your head high even as you're getting ground down by life. And finally, that paradigm of spiritual childhood can even give you peace, check this out, during the annoying little things of everyday life. And sometimes, if we're honest, that's a lot harder than the big stuff. Look, I'd probably suffer martyrdom with more grace and heroism than I tend to suffer Denver traffic on a given day. But what if I actually received that traffic or the million annoyances and interruptions that come to me every day with the spirit that says, God, you're in charge of my life, and right now, right here, even in the midst of this little annoyance, I'm exactly where you want me. I accept it. If you want it, so do I. Guys, if I really did that all the time, guess what I'd have? Peace. That's what I'd have. And listen, that kind of spiritual childhood and that kind of trust, it doesn't just help you cope with the tragedies and the disappointments and the annoyances of everyday life. Let me tell you what else it helps you do. It helps you actually enjoy your life more too, which God wants for you. That's why He filled your life with so many blessings that you so often overlook because you're living too dang stressed out. Ecclesiastes from the Old Testament describes a man who doesn't only have a good life, but Scripture tells us he's blessed with, quote, the ability to enjoy his life. Those are two different things, by the way. You see, without trust in a God who's got you, the better your life is, and this is an ironic tragedy, sometimes the harder it is to actually enjoy it. Why is that? Because you have all this good stuff. And if you don't remember that all of it is really just a gift from your Heavenly Father, and He's ultimately the one who provided it for you, your life becomes this stressed out experience of protecting all the blessings and keeping it going till you die. A tragic statistic, 90% of CEOs reported that they're kept up at night worrying about failure. 90%. They also have far higher incidences of alcohol abuse than people who are in lower income brackets. This is where success leads us. Guys, gaining the whole world but losing your soul, your relation to your Heavenly Father, it's pointless. Not just for the next life, but this one too. But the man who lives with trust, who surrenders his life to God, Ecclesiastes says, he will not notice the days of his life as they pass away because God has filled his heart with joy. Guys, he's not grasping. He's not grabbing onto. He's going through life with his hands open, just ready for God to dump the blessings on him, and he's receptive to life rather than controlling of life. He's not worried about the finite number of days he's been given. It's all just a gift. St. Jerome writes about this, that he does not count the days of his life, for God allows him to enjoy life without sadness or anxiety. He is filled instead with the delight of the moment. I love that thought. The guy who just skates through life because he enjoys this moment, because it doesn't live under the delusion that the next moment is something he needs to plan and control in detail, because God's got that. Because I want to be that guy. You know who doesn't want me or you to be that guy? The evil one. Jesus died to give you his peace. You can call God Father and actually live out what that means. The devil lives to rob that peace from you, and his number one tactic is helping you forget your identity as a child. Look, I know it's not in Scripture, but I love the scene in the Passion of the Christ where Jesus, in his agony in the garden, is praying, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not as I will, as you will. And right away, the devil shows up and he says, who is your father? Who are you? Because the evil one wants you to forget that you have a father. He wants you to live with the spirit of spiritual orphanhood. He wants you to live exhausted by this idea that you're in it alone and you bear all the responsibility of holding everything together all by yourself. No matter how good your life is going, if that's your paradigm for life, you will have no peace. Because that lie is at the source of the original sin in the Bible, pride. Not the pride of arrogance like we usually think about pride, but that pride of self-reliance. You see, Adam and Eve, they had been created for eternal glory, and the serpent told them, eat from that tree that God said not to eat from, and then you'll be like gods. Guys, the plan that God had all along was to give them the gift of partaking in divine nature. But they had become convinced that they had to make that happen for themselves, their way. And they got kicked out of the paradise of Eden. Guys, if childlike trust is the on-ramp into the paradise of Jesus' peace, even in the chaos of life, self-reliance is the off-ramp. So, How does a spirit of self-reliance, as opposed to that paradigm of spiritual childhood, destroy your peace? Because if we feel like we're on our own, we don't just work hard to make our life plans happen, or work hard to protect our blessings. We obsess. Because look, if you're on your own, truly, in this universe, you should obsess. A child with loving parents has no business obsessing over everything. You know, one of my kids, she's really responsible. Maybe she'll be an accountant someday. She's 13. She asks sometimes, "Dad, do you actually have money for that?" I'm thinking like, dude, that's not your question to ask. Ask that 10 years from now. Enjoy yourself, kid. But spiritually, Christians have no business asking about every little detail being planned. I mean, be responsible. Work hard. Leave the rest to God. But that's that mindset of spiritual orphanhood, it'll ruin our peace. It'll also ruin our peace because we start to feel like we're not just bearing the weight for our own lives. We start to bear internally the weight of carrying everyone around us too. And the sad irony, the twist, is that love for people will drive us there. That love separated from a knowledge of God's love for you. Listen, mom, dad, boss, I hope you love the people that God sent you to serve, and I hope you do your best to take care of them. But you got to remember this. You are not ultimately responsible for their lives. And if you try to control their success and happiness and save them from all suffering, not only do you drive yourself crazy, you're going to come in the way of God's plan for their lives. Look, if you got to let an employee go, or if you got to let a kid go, and you got to just surrender them, dude, let them go. Maybe, guys, maybe you letting them go is how they'll end up getting to the place that God has in mind for them. And trust me, you are not as good at doing God's job as He is. Stop bearing all that weight. A child doesn't bear the weight of the happiness of everybody around him. You're a child spiritually. And worst of all, that spirit of spiritual orphanhood, it ruins peace because you begin to bear the weight not just of your plans or the people around you. This is the most poisonous one of all. You ready for this? You start to bear the weight of thinking that you are responsible for creating your own worth and value. You fall into that lie, the ultimate self-reliance, that I have to do and perform and provide and bless people in order to have any value in this world myself. And if I fail, well, I don't just fail at a task. I'm not inherently valuable anymore. Guys, how many working men and women live with that gnawing fear? Because I got to tell you, there is nothing less safe than having to fight for your very worth. Your inherent value is on the line and you're fighting for that. You'll never have peace if that's how you see life and how you see work. Stay-at-home parents, man, sometimes they lack peace because they're forgetting their value just comes from who they are and what they are as mom or dad. And you're not out there doing some measurable work in a job every day and you feel worthless. I gotta tell you, man, if that's you, if you're struggling with that, let your kids' eyes looking at you reminds you of your, quote, net worth. Look, you walk in the door, that one-year-old never says, "Hey, what did you accomplish today?" No, he just lights up because, dude, mom's here. Dad just walked in the door from work. Dad's home. Dude, everybody see, he's here. He's awesome. Just because you're you. I know we're supposed to show the father's love to our children. Sometimes they show us. Look, I know we're supposed to show the unconditional love of God to our kids. Sometimes if we're watching them watch us, they're showing us that love. We got to listen to that. We got to hear that message from God. Listen, I'm talking to you. If you're a parent or a spouse or a boss, you need to fight to first and foremost remember that you are a child. It's not who you are that gives you value and worth. It's whose you are, child of God. And you are not ultimately carrying the weight of your life, of other people's lives, or of your value because He is carrying you. Guys, when you stay in that headspace, you can have the peace of a child and of the saints. And even the chaos of life can't kick you out of the paradise that is Jesus' peace. And that, my friends, that's the place where joy lives. And that is not easy for us to live and to stay in that space. Like, if you've ever watched surfers, they look like they're just chilling out there and relaxing and waiting between waves. But if you've ever actually swum out and been in the lineup, you know that 75% of the work of surfing is staying right where that wave is breaking, and you're fighting the currents, and you're dodging other surfers, and you're looking for sharks at the same time. And it's all about that work to stay right where that break is. Look, the surfer doesn't create the break. He just got to get to where it is. The disciple doesn't create the peace of Christ. It is a gift. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I got to tell you, you got work to do to stay where that wave is breaking. You following that analogy? So I'm going to give you a few spiritual tools to put in your toolbox. Here's where the rubber hits the road. These things are simple, but they will change your perspective and change your life if you actually do them. Number one, I want you to learn to rest in prayer. Sometimes we treat prayer like we treat work, and we just go and do the stuff. And you know what? That's okay sometimes. But you got to add this piece in. I want you to practice just saying nothing in the presence of God sometimes. Maybe if you're sitting down to pray with your morning coffee, spend the first 30 seconds before you say anything and just be. And imagine God, your Heavenly Father, who's there with you and actually loves you and delights in you. I love telling my kids that I delight in them. I don't know how to gracefully put that into a conversation, so I'll be driving them to school. I delight in you. And they're like, what? Like, really, I just want you to know you make me happy just by being my kid. The Father in heaven looks at you that way too. Just sit there and let him be happy in you, his child, and imagine him looking at you with great love. And then you can start your prayer. Guys, it's a simple life-changing habit that'll teach you, reorient your soul, kind of like a good chiropractor. Cracks just the right thing and everything kind of falls in line. This will help your whole spiritual life fall in line to learn to receive a little of your Heavenly Father looking at you with love. Number two, I want you to start your every day when you start your prayer with a morning offering. I'm going to link to a few options below this video. One written by Louis de Montfort, another one written by St. Ignatius of Loyola. Just offering yourself to God. But whatever prayer of offering you like and use, I use both the ones I'm going to share with you, and maybe we'll share some more. It all boils down to this. It's a prayer that says, Lord, my day is yours, not mine. And in fact, I am yours. I am not my own. I offer myself and my day and my joys and struggles all to you. Take it and do what you will. There. You're making an offering like a priest at the altar. You're offering your life. And when you're baptized, you're anointed priest, prophet, and king in the Catholic Church. After your baptism, that oil is put on your head, and the first thing you offer, you're to offer yourself. That doesn't just make you holy. Again, it makes you happy. It reminds you you're a spiritual child. It puts you in that car seat of surrender. And Lord, let's enjoy the ride together. And number three, I want you to make that act of surrender throughout the day, especially when, not also when, but especially when you're facing those frustrating moments in life where you really don't feel like praying. Maybe your feelings of peace will follow the more you activate your will to do what you don't feel like doing in that moment. You follow that? So when things aren't panning out, remember Kiara's offering to God when her hair fell out? For you, Lord. She could do that while she was dying. You could do it at a red light. For you, Lord. I'm late to this appointment. I just got my second red light. For you. When somebody cancels that appointment that you're rushed to, for you, Lord. When your infant ruins your afternoon by spitting up on your outfit, for you, Lord. When an unannounced guest interrupts you writing this reflection and you have a deadline, not that that just happened to me, for you, Lord. Because I want to stay in that space where the wave of grace is breaking, and that space is where God has me. And again, to follow Kiara's example, if you want this moment, Lord, if you want it, so do I. Activate your will and want what he wants and offer it all to him. Guys, what I just told you, those three steps, they're simple, but it could change your perspective and change your life over time. Little changes in direction right now, all the way down the road, leads you to an entirely different destination. And I'm telling you, where this one leads is a peace that you never thought possible. I am so excited for you to get intentional about doing this. When you live in that spirit of spiritual childhood, that paradigm that God is my Father and he's got me, and I'm going to actually get in agreement with that reality, Then you begin to taste some of the excitement that the first disciples had when they headed into the wilderness without any real plan. Just kind of knowing, my plan is that I'm on an adventure that God has charted out for me, and I'm excited to see how he shows up today. Then, when you have that spirit of spiritual childhood, you know the stability of the saints in the midst of tragedy. You know the enjoyment of everyday life that the man in Ecclesiastes enjoyed. You know the rest of an infant strapped into his car seat who has no idea where he's going, where the next meal is coming from, how he's going to get it. But he knows. Someone who loves me has all those things figured out so I can just enjoy the ride. Then you can have the peace that Jesus died to give you. The peace that only comes when you know in your heart of hearts that you have a Father. Amen.